Hey, it's Elliot. Before we get going, we wanted to let you know that Sportsnet's weekly NHL newsletter is coming to your inbox this season. Written and produced by Rory Boylan, our NHL editor and co-host of the Tape to Tape podcast, Sportsnet's NHL newsletter will deliver original content you can't find anywhere else, plus all the most important news, analysis, and videos of the week. Sign up now at sportsnet.ca/newsletters. That's sportsnet.ca/newsletters to get the most in-depth, exclusive hockey coverage delivered directly to your inbox.
What's going on with you, anything?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just doing this. I don't know.
Wants to be a hockey reporter now, Pat. This is
this is my new job. I said, what's the dress code? I want to represent, you know, Hockey Night in Canada and everything. No, and they're like, no, just be you. So you get jeans and a Misfits
t-shirt.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Coming
you
down.
You'd recognize me if I was all gussied up.
we give him a good scrubbing. All right, here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, and 1. Blackhawks Pod, Elliot Friedman. Attention, alert, Blackhawks Pod, 31 Thoughts, the podcast, brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra truck. So on today's edition of 31 Thoughts, the podcast, you will hear from Jonathan Toews. You will hear from Patrick Kane. You will hear from Alex DeBrincat. The twist on this one is Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, sat in on these interviews. I believe he did pretty much the entire Jonathan Toews interview himself as well. So this is going to be a little bit of us talking to these players and a whole lot of CM Punk as well.
If you really hate Jeff and I and the way we interview people,
you'll love
this is your lucky day.
Because as
it continues, we ask fewer and fewer questions.
You know what one of the interesting things, too, is? So we're in this room in Chicago as the players are getting wheeled in and wheeled out. And, you know, you go out to the lobby or go out to get a coffee or something like that, and you hear the players sort of whispering before they come in, Is that CM Punk?
And he just sat there so quietly.
It was awesome.
I was a wrestling fan years ago. I'm not hip to today's times in wrestling, so I didn't know CM Punk like you did. I went and I watched all his videos, and I was howling at some of the stuff he did.
He's great.
The guy's very magnetic. He's got a great presence with the microphone. And you would have not believed watching him sit that whole time, just patiently listening. If you bought into the personality as it is,
yeah,
publicly, you would have been shocked to see him so calm privately.
What I like about him specifically, and you'll hear the long form interview soon here on 31 Thoughts with Punk, is that, and he said this to me in a really unique way. I asked him about doing this, sitting down and interviewing hockey players, playing reporter, playing interviewer. It's their first time doing it. And he jumps just in with both feet. Here's someone that's done pro wrestling, someone that's done, you know, two fights in UFC. Here's someone that's got a film coming out. He also acts. And he said, you know, you always put yourselves in situations where you're uncomfortable and that's where you grow. And he said, I'm only comfortable when I'm uncomfortable. Like that's his default setting, is being uncomfortable. Really like that. So you're going to hear a lot of CM Punk.
He could have played very well for Ken Hitchcock.
Certainly true. He likes to put players in those situations. Up first is Alex DeBrincat, marvelous scorer in junior, 51 goals, and then 65 goals in his third season playing with the Erie Otters. 28 goals as a rookie in the NHL, 41 last year for the Chicago Blackhawks. The question about him was always, was the junior hockey shot going to translate into the NHL? And the answer, Elliot, is yes.
Sure has. And contract time.
Ding, ding, ding.
Got to pay him after this year.
Are goals expensive, Elliot?
Guys who score in this league, sources tell us, they tend to get paid.
Here's Alex DeBrincat on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
Sent across by Muzzin. Here's Perlini into the lead zone to bring it down the slot. Shoots and scores! The Cat fires it into the top right corner. It's over the glove of Sparks. Kane rolling in, got it across to DeBrincat. Shoots and scores! Power play goal for the Hawks. The Cat strikes from the left circle.
Seabrook spins it behind the net. Kane got it at the left point. He'll flip it down to Toews behind the net. Toews put it in front to DeBrincat. He scores! With 1 second left in regulation, the Cat fires it right through the legs of Reimer. And the Blackhawks have tied the score at 4. And you can hear the thousands of Blackhawks fans here in South Florida going absolutely crazy. Here's Strome, right circle, and DeBrincat left circle. 50 scores! Alex DeBrincat with a hat trick.
Elliot joined now by and with Alex DeBrincat of the Chicago Blackhawks. And right in front of us, our good friend Phil Brooks, a.k.a. as CM Punk, has brought in a box of Stan's donuts. How tempted are you right now, Alex, to reaching over, turn the cameras off, we'll all look away, turn the lights off if you want, to reaching over and grabbing one of those?
No, I think I'm good right now. I don't think I need that during this day, so maybe tomorrow and I'll have some.
How diligent are you about workouts, eating, recuperation, rest, all of it?
I feel like I try to do as good as possible. I mean, I'm not like a health nut, but, you know, try to stay in the good food area. And,
who is that guy on your team?
I feel like we have a few guys like that. I feel
it's
like,
not Siebes, I'll tell you that much. I just watched him walk down the hallway with an entire platter of like parfaits, and he had a guilty look on his face. Said it was for the guys that were skating, and I said, "Sure,
for the camera crew."
Do you want to introduce that voice, by the way?
That voice is Phil Brooks, aka CM Punk, who joins us. He's the bringer of donuts today.
Yeah, no, not Siebes, but I feel like Taser's pretty good with it. Kaner's pretty good with it. We have a lot of guys that really like to focus on their regimen and, you know, do a good job with that.
You know, Alex, as the players say, game recognizes game, right? So last year you have a 40-goal season, and I'm wondering when you noticed at the ice, on the ice, the respect was starting to really come to you.
I don't know. I feel like there's not really one moment that I feel, but, I mean, you can see it when you play with guys like Kaner, how much like the league respects him, so... I don't know if I'm at that level of respect yet, so just keep working and hope to get more respect throughout the year.
Let me change that then. When did you notice that teams were starting to defend you differently and you were becoming a focal point of attention?
I think when our power play was really good in, I think it was January, maybe February, where we were ticking around pretty good and scoring a lot of goals, so I think... that was a moment where I think they kind of bared down on me, and there were other plays open, so that was the time.
Skating with a chip on your shoulder. I mean, you've always done this. Never drafted in the OHL 350 goal seasons, like breaking sticks, not a problem. Second-round pick, not a first-round pick in the NHL. Mini had you going in the first. You and Sam Girard somehow slipped to second. I know that's motivation for you. How important is it from your own personal motivation point of view to skate with a chip on your shoulder? Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to show you for passing me over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something I've kind of dealt with my whole life. And being smaller, someone's always going to tell you you can't do it. So for me, my whole life was trying to prove people wrong. And I think I had to do that in the OHL. And obviously, I have to do it in the NHL too. So, you know, there's always going to be people trying to bring you down. And you just got to ignore it and, you know, keep playing what you know you can do.
So we have three Blackhawks who are going to be at the podcast here. Alex now, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and CM Punk is here because he loves his Blackhawks. So I don't want to talk, CM, and I really don't want to hear from Jeff. You're the Blackhawk guy. You know, I want to hear what you have to say to Alex.
I appreciate the way you skate and the way you play. I think one of the first things I noticed about you, aside from being an undercover goal scorer, I think maybe you slipped under the radar because people overlook you, right? There wasn't a time when you took maybe a hit late, whatever, that you wouldn't step up to anybody. And I know in the NHL, the enforcers been phased out. There's a couple teams have a couple, two, three guys here and there throughout the league, but the Hawks in the past 10 years haven't really had that guy. And it doesn't matter to you the way you skate. You skate like you're Dustin Byfuglien. You know what I mean? And I just, as a fan watching, like, I appreciate you getting in guys' faces, knowing that, you know, there's nobody there to save you. And I just love your attitude that you don't need to be saved. Like, I think it's great. I even think I seen a couple times last season where you wound up chasing guys down for hitting another teammate or something like that. And I think that's got to go a long way in the locker room, and I know it certainly goes a long way with the fans. You're a perfect fit here in Chicago. I just, you know, it's a pleasure watching you skate.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
Excuse me.
I mean, that's kind of always been the way I've been. I grew up with an older brother who would beat on me all the time, so I have to let my anger out some other way. So on the ice was always a place I could kind of get feisty without getting in trouble. So that's kind of the way I went about it.
I like it.
Tell us about the shot. I mean, have you always had it? I mean, that release is quick and sudden and nasty and violent and frightening. Have you always had that, or is that something that, okay, here we go, another 500 pucks today. This is my job.
Yeah, when I was younger, I would shoot a lot of pucks, I think, in the basement before school, me and
orange
my brother.
Orange pucks or black?
A little bit of both. So we only had a few orange pucks, but when I got a little older, I started shooting those. But me and my brother before school or in the summer, we'd go down and we call them like 50-50. So we'd shoot 50 forehand, 50 backhand. And then when we got a little bit older, we'd do slap shots and snap shots and kind of go through the whole routine. So me and my brother both loved playing hockey, and we just had a lot of fun with it. So anytime we could play, we were shooting pucks or doing something else. And also my dad used to own like a pro shop in a roller hockey rink. So he had the concession stand as well. So we were there all the time in the summer, and the rink during the day would never be taken. So I would just go out there for hours and, you know, work on different things, kind of come down the wall and try to get a quick shot off. And I think that's kind of a big part of where my shot came from.
Jeff Carter's got a wonderful shot, wonderful release. And I think he's still single digits for slap shot goals. It's all wrist shot. Yeah. How many slap shot goals have you scored? Would you even know? Because it's so seldom used right now, and especially by someone like you. I mean, you get your shot off, and you have to, I mean, right now in the league. But do you know how many slap shot goals you've had? Because I'm just thinking, like, I'm going through, like, my Rolodex of the Brinket goals, and they're all, like, snap, snap, snap.
Yeah, I don't think I have any slap shot goals in the NHL. I maybe had one or two in the OHL. So, I mean, that's just not something I really use. It takes too long to get off for me. So, usually one-timers a big way I score a lot of my goals. So I don't know, I like to get off quick. I don't have the hardest shot, so I just try to get off quick and maybe surprise the goalie a little bit.
Hawks fans are nuts, right, Phil?
They can be, yeah. There's good and bad in there. Yeah,
like
for
loud.
Sure.
And I mean, I've been to a handful of games United Center, and it's a one. I mean, I always say, like, every hockey fan needs to have the Montreal Saturday night 7:01. Turn the lights off, spotlight center ice, Coldplay hits, the ghosts of the old Forum come out, and everyone needs to have that experience. I also feel the same way about United Center. Anthem is certainly something. Talk to Alex a little bit about being in the stands when the Hawks are lined up on the blue line, when they're doing the more, when they're doing the skate before the game.
So you're going to hear this two other times today with Kane and Taves, but it makes me want to run through a brick wall. You know, and I know how annoying the goal song is for probably everybody else outside of Chicago.
Roberto Luongo's grandkids are going to have migraines from that song. That's how much it's burned into him.
It's that one song or sitting there hearing the anthem and, you know, cliche goosebumps. And like I said, it's literally, it's an adrenaline spike. You know, I've loved this team through some pretty lean times, and I'm still excited, even though we didn't make the playoffs 2 years in a row. Like, I'm still very excited about this team. So, and that's the genesis of that whole anthem and the crowd being so loud, is that everybody had always counted us out, a lot like you. And Hawks were up against Gretzky and the Oilers, and they were in the playoffs, and everyone thought they were just going to steamroll over them. And like, the Hawks just, the fans just took that moment at the national anthem and just started screaming and cheering as to kind of say, like, hey, we're still here, you know, don't look past us. And nothing I love more than being in the stands for that anthem, except for maybe a win. I think it's fantastic. How bad do you want to get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something I haven't experienced yet, and everyone talks about how fun it is, and I've had playoff experiences in junior. Obviously, it's not the same, but playoffs are just so much fun. It's you're so close to the end goal, and I want to get there as bad as the next guy, and I think we're going to do anything we can to get there this year, and I think we have a better team, and you know, that's our goal for this year for sure.
How much can you hear the fans when you play? Or is it something you need to block out? Because we had loud fans in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hear them in the anthem. I think that's when I'm listening to them, and I mean, anytime anyone comes in town to watch the game, I tell them to go to the anthem for sure, get there early, so, but I'll hear them there, but usually during the game, I zone it out a little bit. You're so focused on what you're doing, how you're going to make the next play. So I think it's pretty easy to zone them out after that.
Last question for you. I want to ask you about playing with Dylan Strome. And I got to know you through the OHL, playing with Dylan Strome with the Erie Otters. What makes that battery work, the Brinket Strome?
I think he just kind of knows where I'm going to be at all times, and I kind of know where he's going to be or what he's going to do with the puck. So for him, he likes to slow the game down a bit and take it to his, you know, let the game come to him. So, but he can pass as good as, you know, anyone I know. So for me, I'm always just trying to find the open space, and I know he can make maybe a pass another guy can't. So it's pretty easy to play with him. I like the way he plays. Obviously, it's worked out for us.
Brett Hull had the great saying, sometimes the best way to be in the play is to not be in the play. You know, Hull would be sort of outside of the play and then find that spot. Oates finds him, boom, the light's going off and everybody's cheering. How aware are you at times of having to be away from the play and then darting into a spot to get that shot off?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of my game. I think, you know, I'm not always moving 100 miles per hour. You know, in the zone, I'm kind of taking it slow until I see that spot, and I think that's a reason why I've scored a lot of my goals. So I think that's it's a big part of the game for a goal scorer. You got to find your spots to, you know, exert energy and kind of go about the game. So I think that's something I really like to do.
You're a fun player to watch. Last call for the donuts, if you want a shot out.
They'll be here. They'll be here.
Maybe I'll come back later.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're nearing the best time of the year, puck drop. It's also the time to pull your gear out of the basement and work off the summer rust. And there's no better way to handle your equipment to the rink than the next generation GMC Sierra. Why? The multi-pro tailgates. Whether you're 6 or 60, loading one hockey bag or a bunch, the multi-pro tailgate makes access to the truck bed easy. That's because it turns into a step that's 4 feet wide and can hold up to 375 pounds. Meaning, even when your legs are burning after a tough skate, the Sierra has you covered. That's Alex DeBrinket. And we should have perhaps mentioned off the top, there is a common theme through a lot of these interviews, outside of them all being Chicago Blackhawks. When Phil came in, CM Punk, he brought a box of donuts and placed it on the interview table. And you could tell some players looked at it but weren't going to grab it because they don't want to
see. How about some media looking at it?
How about you and Chris Johnston looking at it? How about you and Amel looking at it and licking your chops? And one of the consistent themes is, would a player grab a donut? And none did.
It almost shames you into not getting a donut, right? So... So I'm sitting there and I want to have one. And if these guys are not doing it, then you almost can't do it. So he walks in there, DeBrincat. I hadn't met that media relations person before. I guess it's either Mike Horan or Will Shukerman, because I know Adam Roggewin and I know John Steinmiller, but I didn't know the media person who was with DeBrincat. And he actually said when CM Punk offered him the donut, strength and conditioning coach is 40 yards that way. You going to go do it? So DeBrincat was like, no. Like, any chance he was going to eat the donut was ended by that comment.
And apparently these are legendary, too. And my knowledge
of
donuts was embarrassingly bad. But Stan's donuts, I guess, are a really big deal.
They were good. They were really good. Almost says he had three.
He had three, Amel? Oh, man. Did you have to count your fingers after? Make sure you didn't chew off one of those in the process?
If I had three, I wouldn't have been able to fit into my suit pants.
Let's go from one hawk to another. This is Patrick Kane. What more can you say about Pat Kane? I feel like I've talked, so much. One of the players we've talked about perhaps the most over the last, you know, going back to even before 2010 when they won the cup in this generation, that we've talked about the most is perhaps Pat Kane. What more can we add, Elliot? We're going to hear from Patrick Kane here. What more can we add about Patrick Kane?
I think there's only one thing that guy hasn't accomplished, and that's Olympic gold. He's got a silver medal from 2010, and, you know, we assume as part of this, the player's going to be going back to the Olympics, although I know the league just hates the idea generally. I'm sure that that's the only thing that that guy hasn't accomplished he'd love to do.
Patrick Kane on 31 Thoughts, the podcast, featuring CM Punk, Bill Brooks.
Down, he spins into the line with a backhand, kept in by Seabrook. He put it down toward the net, deflected wide by Anisimov. Good play there. Seabrook can play recognition as well. Now Kane in front, just scores! Patrick Kane is the all-time leading scorer in consecutive games among American-born NHLers. Patrick for Patrick Kane, and that's his 100th point this season. Patrick Kane with a four-goal game scores his second hat trick of the season and is the first Blackhawk to hit the 100-point mark since Jeremy Roenick did back in 1993-94. And the United Center ice surface is literally showered with hats. Blackhawk fans around the world, you've endured 49 years of frustration, but your patience has finally paid off. Lord Stanley's new address is Sweet Home Chicago. The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup. They've won the Stanley Cup.
It's over, they did it.
In Philadelphia, they celebrated, bud. How about that?
They won it.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Elliot, I'm going to love talking to Patrick Kane now. You know why? Because we don't have to talk to Patrick Kane. Our job is pretty simple today because Phil Brooks is with us, CM Punk, who's going to be doing all the Chicago interviews. I already talked to Alex DeBrinket, and next is Patrick Kane. So we're going to turn the recreation over to Phil here.
The biggest winner is Patrick Kane, who doesn't have to talk to me or you.
You win, but
switch
first,
it up.
So about 15 minutes ago, Alex DeBrinket was sitting right there. Phil brought in a box of donuts, and we said, would you like one? He wouldn't even reach over. It's like the superstitious guy that refuses to touch the Stanley Cup because he hasn't won it. Like, those arms stayed down. We'll offer you, we'll invite you the same thing. Would you like
lift my arms up,
a donut not to start the interview? No?
I'm good, thank you. That's that was kind of you to bring him in, though.
I think it was shame that prevented Alex from eating a donut. I definitely don't think it was any kind of a athletic diet regimen or anything like that. I saw the fear in his eyes that he would be, somebody would tell you guys that he ate a donut, and I think that would take on a life
of
its own.
He's got a little bit of a sweet tooth too, so I wouldn't be surprised if he like came back a little bit later and tried to get in there.
He did cite yourself and Jonathan Toews as guys who kind of are more tuned in diet wise, but I don't feel like you're not indulging. I honestly just feel that you're just like, well, I just don't want a donut.
I guess, like, as a hockey player, you know, like, it's okay to have that stuff every once in a while. I feel like for a lot of us, we try to keep ourselves pretty tuned in, like you said, but every now and then it's okay, right?
I mean, I think you guys need an enormous amount of calories,
right,
you know, but I don't know if, you know, donuts fit into that. I know a lot of guys will do like this gigantic plate of pasta or whatever before a game, take a nap, stuff like that.
Right.
Do you have any rituals? Do you normally do the pasta or?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. I've been playing a lot of minutes the last couple of years, so I do a lot of like pasta and sweet potato as well. Try and get some carbs in me. But yeah, you make a good point. Like, I think one of the things that I even learned this summer just from training, and like, we do things where you wear like heart rate monitor, you know, and you track how many calories you burn, and you realize that even though you might think so, you're not eating enough, you know? And that's something that I didn't really know before, but you kind of figure that out this summer and you realize you need to eat more. So you're like recovered, obviously. So you're doing the right things to replenish and feel good going into the next day.
What's your off season like, aside from frustrating? Because I'd imagine you would much rather be in the playoffs. But Hawks, I think, as a whole, out of all the teams, have played more hockey in the last 10 years than anybody. I think maybe the Kings are right behind you guys. But I don't want to ask the question because I know you're going to tell me you'd rather be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But is it good to have a little bit more downtime?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I feel like this year was a little bit tougher, I feel. It felt like a longer off season than last year for whatever reason. I don't know why. The last couple of years, I've actually been fortunate enough to go and play in the World Championships with Team USA. So it was fun to do that, play for, you know, different coach and play with some different players and enjoy being like the captain of Team USA. Like, that was really cool for me. But yeah, obviously you'd rather be playing. I think for a lot of us, guys like myself and Taser and Dunks and Siebes and Crawford, we, like you said, we have played a lot of hockey. So, but it might be nice for those guys to regroup, kind of have a good summer of training, come back a little bit more fresh. And I think now we're at the point where, you know, after losing the first round in Nashville, missing the playoffs the last couple of years, I think everyone's kind of sick of the rest and want to play some good solid hockey here.
you're not old by any means, but you've been on this team for, you know, 10 years now.
Yeah, I think it's this might be my 13th year here. So
I was talking to Jeff just via text a couple nights ago about how I think it's perceived that this team is old, and I don't think that's I'm biased, obviously. I'm a diehard.
I was waiting for the Heat to come out.
You know, you're not an old guy, but you're a veteran on the team. So talk to me about a guy like Alex DeBrincat. Do you feel a responsibility to kind of reach back and bring him along? He hasn't had any playoff experience in the NHL yet, even though he's had two dynamite seasons with you guys. And it's kind of, I don't know if he's a little crestfallen, he hasn't gotten there yet, but he's inherited this dynasty and this mystique of being a Blackhawk, and he hasn't had to taste it yet. Do you feel like you really kind of want to push the team along and make sure he gets there?
No, I think that's an amazing point. And you come into Chicago, and I think a lot of people feel, you know, this is a winning franchise. This is a winning organization that's done some special things, and then they're not really part of it. So it's like, with a guy like that, he absolutely loves hockey, loves being on the ice. But yeah, I think you do feel like some sort of responsibility to bring him along and help him along the way and help him with different things, whether it's on the ice or, like, we went down to Florida last week for like a 5-day hockey camp. I thought it'd be pretty cool if he came along and he sacrificed his week to come down there and skate and work on his game. So he's making sacrifices and it's paying off. Obviously, he had an unbelievable season last year and a great rookie season as well. So, but yeah, the younger guys and guys like that, you want to help them along and kind of make them know what it feels like to play in those big pressure, high action situations. So we want to get to the playoffs, obviously for us and for them, for all of our teammates. I think last year was a better season because we were actually playing some meaningful games down the stretch to try to get into playoffs. So they kind of felt what it was like the last couple months to play those important games. They almost felt like playoff games, even though they weren't going into the end of the season. So I think that's something hopefully we can build on here.
I want to jump in really quick here, and I apologize, Phil. But this question,
your show.
This question is about you, so you'll like it. This is good. Have you seen his Blackhawk Stanley Cup tattoo?
I don't think I have.
Okay,
I see a lot of tattoos, but I don't see the Hawks one.
I'm curious, what goes through your mind when you see, I mean, Punk is like top of his field, you know, in his profession, and he's got inked on his leg, Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup.
I think
when
it's
you
awesome.
See things like that, can you show Pat?
I feel
show
like I have to show you
Pat
now.
Your Hawks tattoo.
I don't have to take my pants off to show you. It's just right.
Look at that.
Right there.
That's a beauty.
Yeah.
It says 2013.
Yeah, it says my summer vacation.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't know.
You were on the bus with us after we won.
He does remember. All right.
How can you forget CM Punk being on the lifting the Stanley Cup up?
I'm
right?
Sure, I can ask a few guys on that. On
you
that
were like
team
you were hanging
right
out with Sharpie,
do you,
right?
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I owe a life debt to Sharpie, and like a couple other guys. I thought they were pulling my leg. I was in, I don't know where I was wrestling, somewhere, I don't know, Virginia, Carolina, somewhere down south on the East Coast. And I remember the right backstage before you walk through the ramp, it's called the gorilla position, because Gorilla Monsoon used to just sit there and watch the matches. And I was somewhere in the building and you guys scored against Boston to tie it up. And then I walked from there to Gorilla to go out and wrestle, and they had the monitor on, and they were I was like, why are they still replaying this goal? It's been like 3 minutes. And then I realized that, oh shit, they just scored again. And I literally, my music was playing and I was just watching the monitor and they're trying to like shove me out. And
that's
I was like,
awesome.
They're about to win the cup. I got, you know,
that's amazing.
And then I flew home that next morning. And when I landed, I had text from Sharpie.
Yeah.
Hey, you're coming out with us tonight. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I went out with you guys. I stayed out the whole night and I had to be in court like bright and early the next morning, I went straight to court. Yeah, I was a mess.
I'm sure you're not the first guy who showed up in a Chicago courtroom in a bad state. Like, I don't think you have to worry about that.
I just had a smile on my face. I was just like, yeah, well, I don't care what happens here. All right.
What do you got going on these days? I know you're doing the UFC there for a little bit. You still doing that?
Still training my butt off. Awesome. I don't know if I'm going to fight again because I am the old guy now. So, you know, I got 2 movies coming out in October.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing writing. Cool. I'm just kind of hanging out with my wife and my dog right now. Yeah, and awesome. Then I'm fortunate enough to be invited to get to do fun stuff
like
this.
Trying to break the rookie in here a little bit, Pat.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for you. What do you think of, they got that
Wait a
Habib.
Minute. Who's doing this interview now?
They got the Habib match tomorrow.
Yeah,
Is that tomorrow?
Yeah. It is tomorrow.
You like him?
Yeah, I think he's going to win. I just he's a tank. I don't think anybody's going to be able
Small
to stop
guys,
him. The semi-main event, it's my teammate Paul Felder's fighting Edson Barbosa. And so I'm like super excited about that fight. It's like redemption for him.
Where are the fights? Vegas?
Abu Dhabi. Yeah,
really?
so like,
middle
I
of the
think,
afternoon
I
to
want
watch
to say
it.
The pay-per-view starts at like 1 or 2 o'clock here.
Oh, okay. All right, interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool that you – whatever other sports do you keep up with? Because I know it's not just all hockey all the time. Like, I think fans might want to hear that. Like, you know, that's all you do. But, like, you got to have a life. I think you need other things in order to kind of help not burn out, I think.
I like watching a lot of hockey, especially during the season, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, like, our head security guard was actually a big boxer, so he's into the UFC. Like, if we're on the road, like, we'll try and go watch these UFC matches and tune into them. I first started watching the UFC when, like, Brock Lesnar was popular, you know, and I really liked watching him. I liked watching McGregor. Obviously, it was I think we were playing the night that Habib fought McGregor, so we didn't get to see that one. But, yeah, this guy's pretty amazing athlete. I think it's absolutely, like, absurd what you guys do. I think it's crazy. And I have so much respect for those guys that go on the octagon. And
I think,
like,
it's absurd what you do. But, yeah. I mean, I couldn't skate like you do.
But the respect level is, like, through the roof for being able to do something like that and put yourself out there. So,
likewise. I mean, you won 3 Stanley Cups in 10 years. I'm looking forward to you winning the 4th. Hopefully
Absolutely.
It's this year.
All right. Thanks,
Well,
man.
Unfortunately, we got to cut this, but I'll tell you this. The next time Patrick Kane takes a game misconduct when there's a UFC card on, I'm going to know why.
Got to catch Pat. That match.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thanks.
There's Patrick Kane. We should point out as well, we recorded all of these. We made videos that are going to appear on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, so stay tuned for those. Shortly, as will the Phil Brooks long form, the CM Punk piece that we did as well. Where are you at on the Hawks this season?
I think it's just a murderous division. You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Who could win the cup there? Colorado could win the cup. Dallas could win the cup. Nashville could win the cup. St. Louis did win the cup. And we all think that Winnipeg's a good team, but suddenly the ground has really shifted underneath them. I think they're better than Minnesota, but that's a tough road to get through. I think they're better. I believe that their biggest concern is that their D is not very quick. And in this league, that's not easy. So you better play good team defense around them.
Preface the Pat Kane interview by saying, what more can we add about Patrick Kane? What more can we add about Jonathan Toews at this point?
Well, he doesn't have a hole in the resume. The one thing I really like about Kane and Toews, and you asked them both this question, is about basically, are you satisfied? They would have every excuse to count the money. They've won 3 Stanley Cups. They've revived the Blackhawks. They've taken a dormant franchise and they have breathed new life into it. We talked about how important Ovechkin and Crosby were for the league when we did that podcast. These guys basically saved the Chicago Blackhawks. And it would be easy for them to sit there and count their cash.
The Star Series of Podcasts is a collection of interviews that Elliot and I did in Chicago over a couple of days with a lot of players. There's a time limit on all of these because there's a lot of media responsibilities that all these players have. Out of all of these players, perhaps the one that I would like to do a longer form piece with is Jonathan Toews. And if you heard him on Aubrey Marcus's podcast a couple of years ago, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a lot of the hockey stuff that you have to get in. There are a lot of hockey things you have to talk about when you only have 10 or 15 minutes. There's a lot more depth
the Jonathan Toews than you're going to get in a lot of quote-unquote traditional hockey interviews. To me, he's one of the most fascinating guys around the NHL. And I'll be really curious to see his first interview or first couple of interviews when his career is always done. Because some things you just don't want to talk about because you're going to be too much of a quote-unquote distraction. A lot of teams feel that way. There's a lot to Jonathan Toews that I don't think we know about that he sort of hinted at before but never really gotten into.
He certainly did that in the interview. And I'll tell you this, he has never enjoyed an interview with hockey people more than this one because we asked him no questions.
Here's the Hawks captain on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
Very happy about that, obviously, but what a year for Jonathan Toews, a 22-year-old captain of a team that's won the Stanley Cup, best player on Team Canada at the Olympics. He won a gold medal, and now he's rewarded as the top player in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the illustrious Conn Smythe Trophy, and he feels free to touch this one.
Best player on the ice tonight, though, for Chicago.
And all in all, it was a spectacular playoff for Jonathan Toews. Remarkable young leader, Captain Serious, he's nicknamed, and he'll be able to let loose and he won't wipe the smile off his face tonight.
Elliot, put your feet up.
I'm not doing anything.
Jonathan Toews is here, captain, Chicago Blackhawks. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast. We will now turn the recreation over to the one and only CM Punk. Phil, Jonathan Toews is yours.
First thing I got to ask you is, how's your summer been?
Good, good. Actually long, but busy. At this point, a lot of stuff going on, obviously. So kind of looking forward to getting back into the routine, getting camp going, and got a lot of new guys. We're going over to Europe at the end of the month, too. So should be fun. Fun way to get everyone kind of going as a team this year.
Do you start the season in Europe? First
yeah,
game?
Yeah, we leave here on the 27th and then play one game against Berlin. Uh-huh. The German team there, and then we play Philly in Prague. So I think that counts as our first away, or I guess our first game, but as if we would be playing in Philly. It's a road game for us. So
it's a road game for Philly, too.
Yeah. Technically, it's a home game, I think. Pretty sure. So.
Is it? How does that work?
Well, you know what that means?
Buy out of a home game.
That's right. They buy you out of a home game, which means Chicago makes more money on a game-by-game basis than Philly does.
Oh, well.
See, did not know that.
We're already winning.
There you go.
We're already winning.
Like
you guys had a lot of changes last year, obviously, new coach, and that from a fan perspective, I think that one hurt. You know, I think everybody loved Q. We love our mustachioed tough guy coaches in Chicago. You know, Ditka, Keenan. You know, 94. But we got a new coach, and it was a bumpy road. And you got a whole slew of new guys coming in this year. Olimata, DeHaan, we got a new goalie. Talk to me about how you're feeling about the upcoming season.
Well, first of all, I'm impressed. No notes or nothing. Just rattling that off. I need a little reminder, too,
I'm
there
sick.
For a second.
I'm sick,
so,
dude.
Yeah, no, we
got
a depth
chart now.
Yeah, that's good enough. You're going to have to ask me that, too. But, yeah, Mata, DeHaan, I think, honestly, having a good blue line with experience, with depth, guys that can help your penalty kill and just make those first plays coming out of your zone is going to make life so much easier for our forwards. And I think that's honestly where everything starts. Every team in the league, you know, has good forwards, but I think it always starts with good defensemen. So we took a big jump forward there. Robin Leonard in goal will help be a big help to Crow. I just think there's just a lot of depth, a lot of talent just came in, but most of all, I think guys with experience, guys with personality and character that want to win. So we'll have to find ways to make those guys feel welcome, that they can bring their own form of leadership in right away, and you know, we're off to the races. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think maybe in the off season, a lot of the fans will always complain. I'm not one of them. I let the GM do their job. He knows a lot more about what's going on than I do. They'll complain about bringing back old Blackhawks players, complained when they brought Sharpie back for the year, complained they got rid of John Wilson. They will complain when they bring back, you know, I mean, any litany of guys. To maybe Stan Bowman wants to recapture, rekindle whatever you guys had 2010, 2011. And then they go ahead and they bring back the Mutt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a brilliant move.
It's like the CM Punk of hockey right there.
I mean,
that's a compliment, but not at the same time.
It might be a compliment for him. To me, I don't know. I might feel a little bit slighted, but I think he's coming off a great season in Canada with the Habs. But I just think he's a necessary kind of like almost like a dirty little element that you guys were missing last year. So talk to me about him, and are you happy he's back?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, I don't know if that's the idea, to completely try and line up all the special ingredients that you thought you had when you won a championship. It's never going to be exactly like that. But at least with a guy like Shazi, you know what you're going to get. I mean, that guy will play through anything, never complains. He's always full of energy, bringing the guys up, you know, at the rink, on the bench, in the locker room, wherever you go, you hear him before you see him, as they say. He's just one of those guys you love being around. And I think every other team in the league probably agrees. They don't like playing against a guy like that, but you love having him on your team. He can do a little bit of everything. So we're looking for that grit and that toughness. But, I mean, he put up almost 50 points last year in a season where he missed a bunch of games. No pressure there. There's no reason why he can't be making offensive plays and scoring points for us either.
I think you guys have always bounced back. Whether it's injuries to, you know, single guys, or whether it's from a terrible loss, or, you know, it's funny I say a bad season. You know, a bad season with this group of guys is we didn't win the Stanley Cup, you know. Tell me how you bounce back this year in a division that I think every single team has gotten not only like a little bit better, but like a lot better.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that everyone's talking right now. Like, well, we had a few bumps in the road right after Colleton took over, but then eventually we started ramping up and we look like a playoff team late in the season. We can't just think about that and think, oh, it's automatic. We're gonna hit the ground running and kind of cruise to where we want to go this year. I think we got to get pissed off, and we got to, you know, have that mentality that what happened these last few years is nowhere near good enough. And you know, even if we come out of the gates flying, that we're never satisfied. We're always looking to better our situation. So we can't take anything for granted this year.
Okay, you said pissed off.
Yeah.
Talk to me about being pissed off. You, I think famously now, I can't remember the exact quote, but it made me want to run through a brick wall, and it made me
something
go.
Something I said?
Yes, something you said.
How is that even possible?
And I don't even play hockey. I'm just a fan, but I went.
Doesn't take much.
That's my captain.
Yeah.
Somebody asked you about the Blues winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh, here we go.
And you, I guess from an outside perspective, I loved what you said, because you, I mean, it was the exact right thing I want to hear from a guy that is leading me out on the ice. And you were just kind of like, yeah, I'm not happy for him.
Yeah.
I mean, just explain that mentality, because a lot of people, I think, might hear that and say sour grapes.
Yeah.
And that's not what I got from that. I got motivation from that.
Well, I'm glad you heard what I meant to say. I mean, again, I meant no disrespect. They're the champs. You can never take that away from them. I know what that feeling's like when you feel like you earned it and you're crowned the champion of the NHL. I guess all I was saying is, first of all, I wasn't that quick to give them credit for being at the bottom of the NHL. Obviously, they hit their stride at the right time, and they came to the playoffs flying and really coming together as a team. So, yeah, I mean, they played hard. I watched those last few series against San Jose, the final against Boston. They weren't going to be denied. So I want to get that out there, that there was no disrespect meant there. I guess at the end of the day, I can't help but remember that the history we have with St. Louis, there's a few guys left over there that there's still, you know, we won't pull any punches. But, yeah, I don't think you're ever happy after you win a Stanley Cup to watch someone else hoist what you feel like is yours, but especially not St. Louis, not our division rivals, sure. That's for
no,
sure.
And why I loved it is because everyone obviously calls you Captain Serious, and you – you came out with, you know, that was an overhand right. That's heat to me. And as being a Chicago fan who hates everything St. Louis across the board, like, that's what we want to hear. And that charged me up and it made me excited for the season. The one last thing I want to ask you is, I asked this about Kane too. Alex DeBrincat is a guy who has shown up in the last 2 years. He's super produced, tremendous player, but he has kind of inherited this Blackhawks and he hasn't had any playoff success, hasn't even made it there yet. Do you, as the team captain, feel a responsibility to younger guys like that to say, hey, this isn't us? You've been here these 2 years, and yes, you've produced and you're a tremendous goal scorer, but we need to get you to the next level. Do you take that upon yourself to kind of throw the team on your back and make sure you get there for those young guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that's going to be the message across our locker room, but I don't know if you really need to say it to a guy like Kat. I think, he's probably happy. He put up quite a few goals in his first 2 years here in Chicago, but it's impossible to walk around without being reminded of the teams that won Stanley Cups, and you realize pretty quick that that's what this city is all about. They want to be on that two-month roller coaster ride that is the playoffs, and then cap it off with a championship, and there's nothing like it. So I'm sure our young guys are reminded of that all the time, and we know that that's what it's all about. So they hardly have to be reminded, I think.
Jeff, we did a great job there.
I thought it was really good. Well done, Elliot.
Did we get paid for that one?
Who do we invoice for that? Jonathan, thanks so much. Best of luck this season with the Hawks.
Good chatting with you. Glad we have you on our side.
I appreciate you. That's a good thing, buddy.
Two things, Elliot. How much do you think the players enjoyed, A, talking to CM Punk, and B, not talking to us?
A, a lot, and B, even more. I really enjoyed watching him work. I don't think you ever stop learning in this business, and I learned a lot watching his interactions with the players. I think there's certainly things, and I'll re-listen to this as the podcast comes out, that I will jot down notes for stuff I can ask them. You look and you see, okay, what questions did he ask that they really liked? And that's something that I can add to my repertoire in the future. I was impressed watching him. There was a long-form podcast that you and him and I did, and you asked a lot more questions to Punk than I did. I'm looking forward to that coming out, and I think the audience will really like it too.
That's going to be in October. A video of that will be available at our YouTube, our Sportsnet YouTube channel.
Yes, and you know, that was more you than me. I think undoubtedly you guys had a real connection, though. I was really fascinated watching him. The funny thing for me was, I said, hey, like CM, and he goes, nobody calls me that, just call me Phil. And I don't want to break...
No, I mean, that wall's been broken so long ago. Yes. But there are some guys that still just answer to their work names.
Yes, that's true. I have one guy I told this to, and they said to me, why would you let anybody else do the interview? And now they're going to realize they don't need you, and they can have other people do these interviews. And I said, I really enjoyed this. I liked watching it, and I liked watching his interaction, especially with Taves. That was the one that was mostly the two of them and not us, and it was really fun to watch.
Well, it made sense because Phil's a Chicago guy, and as you're going to find out in the long form that we did, you know, after his WrestleMania match with Undertaker and took the time off, he, you know, rediscovered, you know, his love of going to games and watching games. It was right there for the Hawks run, the tattoo on his leg and all that. So, I mean, that was real cool. Like, that was a really neat thing to have, and a lot of that credit goes to George Dukakis, who put this entire thing together. He texted me, hey, you want to have Punk sit in on the interviews? I'm like, yeah, of course, sure, that'd be fantastic. So all kudos go to him, outside of Phil himself, who was really dynamic. And again, as Elliot mentions, that podcast with Phil is going to come out sometime in October. Also, a video of it, the entire thing, will be on our YouTube channel. And while we're promoting, October 1st, we're going to do another live event at Sportsnet Grill in downtown Toronto. Details, those will be available on our social media channels, Elliot's Twitter, my Twitter, and on Sportsnet 590's Twitter as well. Final thoughts on the Hawks podcast?
Again, I don't know really what else to say other than I really enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
I really did. Even if it means I get fired because they realize CM Punk can do interviews just as well as I can, I still enjoyed the experience.
You just hope he goes back to wrestling, because if he wants to do this...
we're in big trouble.
Job waiting for him. As we say goodbye, we present an artist from the other side of the planet, all the way from Dunedin, New Zealand. Here's Nick Clay with Let's Be. Meow, meow. fun.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Very good. Thank you. I'm sorry I was late.
Waiting for another night. I think I'm done here. You mother, baby, let's be.